Good morning, Miss Kathy Washington. Welcome to the Master's Call. Who else do we have out there this morning?
Good morning, right. Miss Bobby in Chicago.
Good morning, Miss Bobby in Chicago. Well, it is 6 o'clock straight up, so we're going to go on and get our call started. Excited about Jesus today. So we're going to go out to Chicago and ask Miss Candy if you will please open us up with a word of prayer.
Can you hear me, Dr. Vanessa?
Loud and clear.
Great. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning to give thanks and praise. Lord, we honor you. We glorify you. We worship you. You are the only living God, and you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us, who descended down to hell and took the keys from Satan. Then he rose again and descended to heaven and is now on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We thank you for this resurrection season and for Jesus coming that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Thank you for the vision you gave Dr. Vanessa and Dr. PK for this Master's Morning Call. I pray you continue to shower them with your blessings and enlarge their territory. I pray a hedge of protection over them. I dispatch the angels to encamp around and about them. Bless and protect their families, Lord. I pray this call will continue to be a blessing to empower, to enrich, and enhance the lives of all of the Master's Morning Call family. I pray for the Diaz de Leon family and for Artists International. I pray for every employee and distributor who is a part of Artists. I thank you in advance, Lord, that our speaker comes not with the wisdom of man, but with the wisdom and revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I pray your anointing will flow through her. Father God, I pray for accuracy, boldness, and clarity. Father, I pray our call be lifted up high above the realm of satanic interception. In the name of Jesus, I call for the portals of heaven to open up and provide a clear pathway for communication. I dismantle this myth and pull down all interferences, strongholds, any evil spirits, disturbances, disruption to the phone lines, the frequencies, and the atmosphere. I bind every curse, every spell, every hex, every vex, spirit of divination, voodoo, and spirit of witchcraft sent to attack the founders, the speakers, the prayer warriors, and the listeners of the Master's Morning Call. I loose the power and the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, have your way this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome on this call. Thank you, God, for giving us this time to delight in your word today. We are honored to meditate, to ponder, and study your word. Lord, when the heavenly bugle blows early in the morning, we stand ready to hear your word, ready to do your will for our lives, and we stand ready with the full armor of God to defeat Satan. He is under our feet. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to you, Pastor Vanessa.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Candy. You truly did command the morning and set the atmosphere ready, pregnant with purpose for the word of God to go forth freely. And this morning we truly do have the ears to hear and the heart to receive. We have just a few announcements before we bring our speaker, our mouthpiece, forth this morning from the throne room of God. We want to remind each and every one of you to visit our website where you can at your own time and leisure listen to the many, many, many awesome words of God. I always say during our day sometime we need a praise break. We need to be stirred and encouraged. And you can easily go to www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. themastersmorning.com and be blessed. Again, our website is themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com, and there is a rich arsenal of the Word of God to be encouraged, to be inspired, to be uplifted, for you to pass on to other friends and family members and let them know that there is a place, there is a rich reservoir of what God and what thus saith the word of the Lord resides. Also, our email address where we love to receive prayer requests, praise reports. We love to pray. We also love to hear what God is doing. And that email address is themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. And then lastly, as the Artist family, and we pray that those of you who are on the line who are not a part of Artist will definitely be open to take a look at this God-ordained company which brought all of us together and, you know, out of that which this call is birthed. To go to your website, there's so many things in your back office that is going on, as we've been talking about and been so excited. Our owners are now giving away, and I said giving away a car a month, wrapped with the advertisements and the great word about all that Artist has and is doing. And, you know, as you drive down the road, it's an advertisement for people to hear. People need what we have, our products, and just a sweet koinonia fellowship. And we're inviting you to go to your back office. As we've been announcing, keep us in prayer this weekend, tomorrow, in Houston, Texas. Our ATC training will be taking place. And to go to the website, atchouston.eventbrite, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E.com, and get your tickets. It'll be at the Holiday Inn there by the Reliance Stadium. And all the other announcements, there's many Super Saturdays and other events going on all over the country to click and avail yourself. But keep that event, please, for us specifically in prayer and for traveling mercies for all the many leaders and just people of God as we're traveling to and from over the weekend. Well, I want to give our man of God plenty of time to come and speak. He had a challenge that he conquered on Wednesday, walking in his role of pastor, and we're excited that he's going to be with us this morning, and we thank God for Dr. PK, who gave up her day and her time to definitely allow our speaker, our family member we all know and love out of New Orleans. Pastor Chuck Brown is a pastor, a father, a husband, an author, a psalmist, a cutting-edge mouthpiece for the Word of God. So I encourage you, as I love to say to our congregation, to put on your spiritual bib and be greedy this morning to draw the anointing and hear the Word of God from the man of God. So without further ado, we ask Dr. I'm going to call that. I'm going to prophesy on that to you, Pastor Chuck Brown, to come and feed us the Word of God. The floor is yours, man of God.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Dr. Vanessa. We bless the Lord for you. And Pastor PK, Dr. PK, we bless the Lord for you as well and for the anointing that lies upon. Love you too, baby. The anointing that lies upon each of you and the vision that you had for this call. And the young lady who ministered in prayer on this morning, thank you so very much for setting the atmosphere for what I believe God is going to do on today for us. Let's get right into the Word of God. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will not tarry. The Lord has shifted my focus right now to kind of to bring out the best that lies in you. All year long, the Lord has given me the assignment of speaking on truth. And the truth is that this isn't all there is to life. You need to know that great days lie ahead to those who dare to pursue greatness. Success lies ahead for those folk who are courageous enough to apply principles of faith and discipline to their lives. If you can just walk by faith and not by sight, you can see your life increase 1,000 times. Yes, 1,000 times. And in Deuteronomy, you can read it on your own time, 1:9-11, Moses says, "May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he promised." Did you hear that? God wants to bless you 1,000 times more than what you have right now. I know we get excited about a 100-fold return, but here God says 1,000 times. Does anybody want to experience that kind of life? Life that is 1,000 times greater than the life you have presently. Can you imagine feeling 1,000 times better than you do right now? A marriage that's 1,000 times better than it is right now. For those who really have the faith to believe, even your salary can be 1,000 times more than what it is. Why is that so hard to believe? Why, and this is my thing, why does Oprah, who doesn't profess to be saved, have to live better than me? Why does Donald Trump, who believes more in himself and his ability, than his own ability than God, you know, than the ability of God to bless him, have to prosper more than the child of God who tithes and prays and praises and lives right? Why do rappers, athletes, and entertainers have to live and drive better than God's people? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be blessed 1,000 times more than what I am experiencing right now. And that's what I want. But the truth is, you can't even begin to think that way if you don't have a vision for your life. Some of you can't imagine life without bills. Some can't even see themselves working for themselves. Some can't see themselves outside of debt. Some can't even believe that they having freedom from worry and drama. And that's why the Lord has shifted me in this season to start ministering on the truth about vision. And that's what I want to share this morning, the truth about vision. God created us to be producers. We were created with the ability to multiply ourselves and increase what we're presently capable of producing. He created us with potential, and within this potential lies greatness. I need you to understand that greatness lies within you. But I have a question. If God has placed all of this inside of you, why then have you settled for a life that's beneath you? Be honest with yourself. Are you truly happy on the job you're on? Are you really satisfied with where you're living? Are you, and I'm talking on the real, are you cool with the position on your job? Or for that matter, are you cool with your position in life? Are you excited about waking up each morning knowing that this day is going to bring you closer to the life you envision? Or do you drudgingly awaken to another day of mediocrity? Life is meant to be better than that. Life is meant to be better than keeping your head above water and making a wave when you can. It's supposed to be better than temporary layoffs and easy credit ripoffs, scratching and surviving and hanging in a child line. Listen, those might be good times for others, but none of that sounds good to me. I'm ready to possess the vision that God has birthed in me. But I realize that you have to live with urgency for today. You don't get another chance to repeat this season of life. Let me say that again. You will never get another chance to repeat this season of your life. Once you age past 20, you don't get to be 20 ever again. I don't care how much anti-aging cream or lifts and tucks or makeup or workouts you do, that season of your life is over. It's done. You can never go back to it. Since that's the case, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? In fact, where do you see life taking you? And I want to ask a very honest, introspective question that I want you to reflect upon. If you continue down the path you're on right now, will it lead you to the physical manifestation of your vision or lead you further away from it? Before I can tell you the truth about vision, I have to define vision. And the former president of World Vision, this is an organization, he tells a story that illustrates what vision is. A little girl was on a cruise ship, and she and her father were standing on the deck. It was a beautiful, clear day, and the air was crisp and fresh. The little girl, standing on tiptoes, said to her father, "I can't see anything." The father picked her up and put her on his shoulders so that she was higher than everyone else on the deck and was able to see everything around her. "Daddy," she exclaimed, "I can see farther than my eyes can look." Her statement captures what vision truly is. Vision, get this in your spirit, is the ability to see farther than your physical eyes can look. Vision. The ability to see farther than your physical eyes can look, to see not just what is, but also what can be, and to make it a reality. What is the vision of an acorn? It's to become a tree. It was never meant to stay in this present state, but to blossom into something greater. You are meant to be greater than where you are. It takes vision to see by faith that where I am is not where I'm always going to be. And on that note, I want to share, in the time that I have, I want to share five principles of vision that you need to grasp, five principles of vision that you need to hold on to. Number one, unless your vision comes from God, you're on your own. Unless your vision comes from God, you're on your own. God only takes responsibility for vision that comes from him. If you have a vision that doesn't line up with what God has for you, even though you may succeed in seeing it become a reality, you won't experience good success. I call it the difference between having a good idea and a God idea. We often have good ideas, but the extent of their results will only lead to some good things. On the other hand, when you have a God idea, it always leads to God and subsequently leads to greatness and promotion and the Zoe, which is the God kind of life. Think of vision as a conception. When you conceive, you know something is growing inside of you. It continues to grow and grow until it bursts from the mother's womb. The greatest insult to any father is to go through all of the stages of pregnancy with the woman only to find out at birth that what came forth from her didn't come forth from him. In other words, the baby ain't his. The normal reaction from the man is to disassociate himself from the woman and that child. Listen, God does not lay claim to vision that was birthed from someone else. God only takes care of his children. Stop pursuing your own agenda and then ask God to raise it as if it's his child. Stop going after your own goals and then ask God to take care of the baby. God is only responsible for his babies. The truth is sometimes we get our own selves pregnant. Yeah, I'm talking about when we do ourselves, when we pursue our own agendas and we have these wonderful plans for our lives without asking God what he wants us to do. Other times we allow others to impregnate us with their vision of our lives. I'm talking about like if, you know, your parents, if they get involved in your life telling you what you're going to be and who you're going to be, or your friends coercing you into pursuits. What I'm basically telling you is that you need to learn how to find out from God what he's placed in you so that you can pursue with all of your heart what God has placed on the inside of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God adds to those who pursue him. God provides for those who seek him. God promotes those who go after him. He is not responsible for vision that is outside of his will for your life. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And for sake of time, I just want to read it. 2 Kings 6 and 17 says, "And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." The second thing that you have to do, the second principle I want to leave with you is this: until you see a better life for yourself, you will never have anything to aim for. Until you see a better life for yourself, you will never have anything to aim for. The greatest gift God ever gave humanity is not sight, but vision. Miles Monroe, the great doctor, theologian, scholar, he states, sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Some of you have 20/20 vision for your natural eyes, but you're unable to see anything beyond what's in front of you. Listen, when you have no vision, you relive the past with its disappointments and failure. Therefore, vision is key to your future. You have to see life better for you. It is impossible to go after anything great if you don't see greatness. Elisha found himself in a precarious situation. He and his personal assistant were fresh off of doing God's work, and when the king sent his army out to kill them, and the army surrounds the city, and Elisha's PA starts tripping hard. He could only see what was in front of him. All he could see was the blockade. He couldn't see God making a way. All he could see was a closed door. He couldn't see God opening doors for him. All he could see was the downsides. He couldn't see God's provision. Finally, Elijah asked the Lord to open the young man's eyes so he could see, but Pastor Chuck, he was blind. He wasn't blind. He could see the army. I realized that, but all he could see was his reality. And what Elijah was trying to get him to see was in the spirit. Stop looking in the natural and start seeing the supernatural happening in your life. When the Lord opened his eyes, the young man began to see armies of chariots and horses of fire surrounding his reality. God always has something greater surrounding the obstacles that are trying to block your vision from coming to pass. You just have to open your eyes and see it. Quickly, Philippians chapter 3, verse verse 12 is where I begin reading on this. Not as though, this is Paul speaking, I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number three, until you aim for a specific goal, you will wander aimlessly through life. Until you aim for a specific goal, you will wander aimlessly through life. Once you have a vision for your life, you have to aim for it. Your aim allows you to reach specific goals. Every week should be filled with goals that will bring you closer to your vision. If it's your vision to have a healthy body, your goal should be drinking and eating those things well that will bring you closer to that vision. This leads me to something that you need to hold on to. Don't do anything that will bring you farther from your vision. Paul calls it focus. He says, I'm focused on my future, not my past. Stop focusing on your mistakes and focus on your recovery. Stop focusing on your pain and focus on your healing. Stop focusing on problems and focus on solution. Stop focusing on what's wrong and focus on what will be right. Stop focusing on your past and focus on your future. Don't get caught up in what you don't have or what you could have done. That time is over. As I said earlier, that season of your life is gone. You might as well get ready for the future in your life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And verse 9, let's just skip verse 8 for now, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number 4, unless your goals are pertinent to your vision, you will be busy sowing for a harvest you didn't want. Unless your goals are pertinent to your vision, you will be busy sowing for a harvest you did not want. Please, if you don't get anything else that I'm saying, I want you to really get this, hone in on what I'm about to say. Farmers don't buy a bunch of seed, plant them, and wait intently to see what sprouts. No, they purposely plant seeds that will bring them the type of harvest they want. If they want apples, they sow apple seeds. If they want oranges, they sow orange seeds. If they want tomatoes, they sow the type of seeds that are going to bring forth tomatoes. How can your goal be to attain great credit when you won't plant seeds of paying your bills on time? How can your goal be to bring your family together when you won't plant seeds of love and encouragement? How can your vision or goal be to have physical wholeness when you live on a diet of fast food? How can you have spiritual health if you won't pray and worship and your lifestyle is not in tune, in alignment with what God requires of all believers? Remember, you always reap what you sow. Always. You harvest what you plant. And my question to you is, what are you sowing right now into your vision? What are you sowing right now into your vision? Carefully consider what your answer is, because you're going to get something from it. Even a seed of nothing produces, it just produces nothing in your life. And I need you to get this. I need you to understand that right now you are sowing something. And then what we do in life is sometimes we sow apples and expect an orange tree to come forth. Well, we'll sow an orange and we expect bananas to come forth. And God is saying, no, you reap what you sow. So if you want this harvest that's going to come, it's going to come, you need to make sure that you're planting and sowing the right things. Finally, back in our text, our lesson-based text, Habakkuk chapter 2, what we read, that the vision is on its way, is for an appointed time. I need you to know, and this is number 5 as I close, until you marry your vision, any obstacle will distract you. Until you marry your vision, any obstacle will distract you. There was once a young man who did a college paper in his economics class on his vision for overnight mail. And the professor took a red pen, gave him a C, and wrote, "Do not dream of things that cannot happen." The young man left school and started Federal Express. Your vision determines your destiny. When you can see what is possible and believe that it can come to pass, it makes you capable of doing the impossible. However, the enemy will do everything in his power to distract you from the pursuit of the vision. I can't stress this enough. When God gives you a dream or vision, the enemy wants to kill it. Look at what the devil did in Egypt. When word got out that a deliverer was being born, Pharaoh tried to kill all of the young males so that he could snuff out the life before the boy could grow into a man. And that is what's happening today. The devil has heard about your dream, and he wants to kill it before it grows into something great that will change the world. don't fall for the distractions. I know that it seems like it's been taking forever. It's going to happen. Things may get worse before it gets better, but don't let that distract you. You may lose a few friends, but don't let that get you off course. You may deal with lack for a season. You may deal with it for a little while, but don't trip. Look at the verse. And out of New Living Translation, Habakkuk 2 and 3, this is the New Living Translation. It says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Think of your vision as a marriage. You don't give up on your marriage. The worst thing you can do right now is to your vision. Understand that you're not seeing results, but hang in there. I know it hasn't been easy for you, but hold on to what God showed you. This union between you and your vision is going to bring and produce offspring of success, but you have to stay focused on the marriage. The enemy wants to make you think that because you're behind that you've lost the game. Listen, anybody who's a football fan out here, you're going to understand the illustration I'm about to give you. A football team can be losing at halftime, but they still know that the game isn't over. The players go to the locker room and meet with the coach, and the coach changes certain game strategies and gives them a pep talk, telling them what they can accomplish in the next half. When they come back out, their whole attitude seems to have changed, and they win the game. I want you to know, people of God, men and women of God who are under the sound of my voice, that no matter where you are in life, the Lord told me to tell you that it can be halftime for you. You just have to reassess your life strategies and focus on fulfilling your purpose. It's not over yet. I'm still a winner. I'm still more than a conqueror. I'm going to reach all of my goals because it's halftime. God has brought me in, and it looks like I've been losing in life. It looks like that the enemy is winning right now. But God told me to tell you that if you go out and really focus this week, if you go out and really focus this year, then it's like that football team who was down at halftime but comes back and wins the game. No matter where you are in life, you can win still where you are. Vision is seeing your life as God sees it. And until my reality catches up with my vision, I'm going to keep running with the vision. What I found is that the enemy wants to keep showing us what we already see. He wants that to be the focal point. He wants that to be the focal point of our lives. And that's why David said it very clear in Psalm 34 that, I will magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He says, magnify not your problems, not your reality, not what you're going through, not what you're dealing with. Don't magnify that, because all that's going to do is make you depressed, baby. All that's going to do is get you discouraged. All that's going to do is bring you down further than what you are. What you have to do is not magnify your problems, not magnify your situation, not magnify your trouble, not magnify your drama or your trauma or your circumstance. Magnify the Lord and magnify what the Lord said about your life. You know what I have to do all the time? Every time I'm dealing with an issue, every time I'm dealing with, a precarious circumstance that I believe is just, trying to bring me down, what I do is I start saying, okay, God, what did you show me? What did you show me? What did you show me? Because what you showed me is always greater than where I am right now. And if what I'm dealing with right now, if what I'm seeing right now is not what God showed me, then what I'm seeing has to be temporary. Hallelujah. I thank God for the ability to go in my mind where credit doesn't matter, where I don't have to have a down payment, go in the annals of my mind where I can imagine the greatest things happening and be able to see vision for my life. I hope that this has blessed you this morning, that you are fired up knowing that, listen, today is going to be a day of greatness. Next week is going to be a week of greatness. Next month, this month is going to be a month of greatness. This year is going to be great for my family. I want you to hold on to your vision. God bless you. Thank you so very much.
Preach, my brother, preach. What a word, what a word, what a word. I know we were all blessed by the truth about vision. Pastor Chuck, you fed us well. You fed us full this morning. We thank God for you and that powerful, powerful word this morning. Robin, we're going to ask you to come. We have about 2 minutes left to close us out, to seal that possible word, that powerful word of God this morning. It is Friday. We always try to benedict right at 6:30. And then those who want to stay on the line to give us your praise reports and your prayer requests, we invite you to do so. Robin, please come now.
Pastor Vanessa, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Praise God. Father, thank you so much for the word that has come forward. Lord God, we thank you for vision. We will come before you and we will ensure, Father God, that our vision is your vision, Father God, as we seek you and your kingdom, Father. Lord, I thank you that as we go forward, Father, into the world, you are our God. You are Jehovah. You are the God, our healer. And we thank you that because you are our righteousness and we can bring all things before you. We thank you, Lord God, because you are the one who do great wonders. We thank you because you are the one who has everything in the palm of your hand, and you are the God who is leading us and guiding us and directing us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we thank you because you are God all by yourself. You are our healer. You are our maker. You are our sanctifier. You are the God of all. You are the great I am. In you we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank you because you are our Savior. You are our deliverer. You are our shield. It is because of you that we live, Lord, and we bless you during this season, and we thank you for what is going on in each one of our lives, Father. We thank you for the man of God, Lord, that you keep him, and he continues to bring your word forth, Father. We thank you for the founders of the call, and we thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice that is on this call, Father, that they will go forward knowing that they have a vision and they are seeking you and you're leading them, Lord, in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. Back to you,
amen.
Pastor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, woman of God, for sealing that awesome word in prayer. We praise God for you, Robin. Pastor Chuck, what can we say? Son, you know God has anointed you to preach a powerful word that will truly enhance and encourage the people with vision, vision as they go through this weekend. Thank you so much for that word. And Candy, we love you and appreciate you for opening up this call in prayer. We do seal this time together this morning and speak the word and the blessings of God over your life this today and all through the weekend, that you truly do submit to the master's call, the call on your life, and be that minister in the marketplace. And for those who have to leave us right now, we definitely seal that word on your life and bless you as you go forth over the weekend. And for those who want to stay, Q&A session, as we always do on Fridays, so that we can take a prayer request and continue to bombard heaven, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and even for the praise reports. Before the call started today, we had a prayer request from Martha Marie Preston for her parents to continue to cover both of them in prayer, and as we have and will continue to do so, and thank God for them and seeing the Jehovah Rapha continue to flow in their lives. Joyce had a prayer request for Lisa, who has uterus cancer, and she has a surgery on May 2nd, again extending the Jehovah Rapha healing virtue of God. So those are two prayer requests that we have received thus far. If anybody else has a prayer request, you can star 6 and you'll be in queue. And then we will be honored to take that request. If you have a praise report, we'll be honored to receive that also. So I don't see anybody in queue yet. So I don't know if we give it a minute. If not, I do have an awesome praise report, but I always want to give many of you a time if you need us to lift your request up in prayer. Well, my praise report, because I don't see anybody in queue yet, is that I got news that on the cover of Essence, well, an article in Essence, one of the first articles in Essence, I'm encouraging everybody to go out this month and get young lady I even babysitted when I was a child, Karen Good, talks about how being raised in our town of Prairie View and going to Mount Corinth and how she was just had a community that nurtured her. But what blessed me, and I hope this encourages somebody who has known this struggle, her parents believed for years for a child and never were able to conceive. And I even remember them coming to the altar at Mount Corinth Baptist Church in Hempstead, just praying for God, like Hannah, to have a child. And they had given up. and adopted Karen, and she wasn't even maybe 4 or 5 months old till she got pregnant with David. And we always used to laugh because they're only about 4 or 5 months apart, that as they adopted Karen and then later had David right behind, that they've both grown up to be very successful. And Karen talks about the blessings of God. And when I read that in that Essence article this month about community and relationships and how when you walk through the storm, this is good. Well, I just hugged her neck when I was down there not knowing this article is coming out, how God is so faithful. If we stay faithful, if we stay consistent, God will do awesome things through us. So I'm encouraging you all to go get that article and you read about Karen Good. And just to know that some of you all had some dreams that you gave up on. And when you think it's the 11th hour, when it's over, God will show up and show out. Well, I don't see anybody in queue. Dr. PK, do you have anything you'd like to say before we close out the call today?
I just want to say thank God for the word. Thank God for each and every one of you. Love and appreciate you and this call. And go out this weekend, be safe, and have a super fantastic anointed weekend.
Amen. And I see a godmother on the line. We're so excited that God has covered you through your travels and brought you back safely. So many of you all have been out of the country, in the country. Again, remember to cover that ATC training tomorrow. So as we always say, as you leave the master's call to go out, as Dr. PK said, and have a blessed weekend. Be God's hand extended and minister in the marketplace. Have a blessed weekend.
And I would just like for her to give a word on her travel to Africa, because that's very significant. She went and came back safe, so she can unmute her so she can greet us with just a word or two of her travel from Africa. That's a big thing.
Godmother, your line's unmuted.
I'm sorry?
Your line's unmuted. Welcome, and we're so glad that you had a blessed trip. We kept getting great reports.
And thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate it. I do. We had a very safe trip. I'm sorry, I'm in my mode this morning. I got the gospel on TV. I had y'all on there, and I'm reading my Bible, and I apologize. I was trying to click off so I wouldn't disturb y'all. But thank you for all of your prayers, and I will share with Africa at another date, but it's all still sinking in. So thank everybody. God bless you. And I'm going to click off now because I got another call.
Amen. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow down in Houston. And welcome back.
Love you guys, and can't wait to see you.
All righty.
Okay, you the love.
Well, praise God for Godmother making it back safely. For each and every one of you on the line, again, go out and have a blessed day, and we'll hear her praise report later about all God did in Africa. Amen, and bye-bye, and have a great day.